options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome to Healing the Grieving Heart with your host, the mother-daughter team of Dr. Gloria Horsley and Dr. Heidi Horsley. Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi have devoted their lives to helping individuals move forward after a profound loss and each week share stories of hope and understanding. They dedicate their show to their son and brother Scott and to others who have lost loved ones. Now join Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi and share the journey from grief and loss to hope and renewal.
Hello, I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley with my co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley.
Each week, Heidi and I welcome you to Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and conversation with those who suffered the loss of a loved one and for healthcare professionals who work in this most difficult field. And always the message is, others have been there before you and made it. You can too. You need not walk alone. If you're listening to our Thursday live internet show, please join Heidi and me on the show by calling our toll-free number 1-866-472-5792 with questions or comments regarding the losses in your life. These shows are archived on our blog, thegriefblog.com, as well as the CompassionateFriends.org websites. All shows can be downloaded on iTunes, and transcripts can be accessed on thegriefblog.com. Well, good morning, Heidi.
Good morning, Mom.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you. You too.
Well, for a lot of our listeners, this is a mixed emotion day, I'm sure, don't you think?
Absolutely, because I feel like Valentine's Day is not just a couple day. I was noticing out in the city today as I was walking, it's a lot of the children are carrying Valentine's Day cards to give to their friends. They're getting candy. It's become more of a family day, and so I think it reminds us of our children that have died on Valentine's Day and all the wonderful Valentines we spent with them.
Absolutely, and we put a little note on the blog to you all today on thegriefblog.com with a picture of roses, and our comment today is, you know what, Valentine's is a day for remembering and giving love, but it's a day also for you to give love to yourself, don't you think, Heidi?
Yeah, I like that idea. I like the things that were, you know, that you said, and I know it's from both of us, but, you know, to buy yourself chocolates or flowers and to take care of yourself today.
Yep, you may listen to some favorite music, go to a favorite art exhibit, just look at a book. You know, give yourself a rose. Give yourself a Valentine today.
I agree. I like that.
So it's important to do that. Do you want to talk a little bit about the poetry contest, Heidi? Because today might be a great day to write a piece of poetry.
Yes, you were saying earlier that today might be, you know, Valentine's Day can inspire us, and it can also get us in a kind of emotional place, which is a good place often to be in when you're writing poetry. The poems that we're having a contest, and the poems need to be 30 lines, and all poems that are they're submitted will be published throughout the year, and there is a contest, and there's going to be prizes. And what else, Mom?
Well, I think we've already gotten some wonderful poems, and we're excited about it, and it's going well. So check in on our blog, thegriefblog.com, and you'll be able to read more about it and see how you log in. Our guest today, Norma Garcia, has written some poetry, and I believe I'm going to ask her about it on their show. But poetry is a wonderful way to remember your loved one.
And it's such a great way to express yourself in few words.
Absolutely. Well, we got an email from Jerry from North Carolina, and she asked us why we weren't doing more proactive things, why we weren't doing something with the show, you know, ourselves, I guess, Heidi. And I wanted to say that that's kind of what we're about, isn't it, highlighting other people, what they're doing?
Yes, and I think just bringing, I think what I feel like I'm a spokesperson and the voice of bereaved people everywhere. And that my message hopefully educates the world on how to be better grief support.
Right, and then all the wonderful people that have done amazing things on our show, like Carol Lohr, who is very proactive, written a book for children about suicide. Her her son killed himself, and she has a wonderful website that you can go to, The Gift of Keith. And just so many of our guests have wonderful websites, don't they, Heidi?
Absolutely. What I love about Carol's book also, which is My Uncle Keith Died, is what it's called. It's for children. It's a preventative book. So it's a book for the public on how to recognize signs of depression and what steps you can take in order to help alleviate that depression.
Absolutely. And people have gone on to put get sprinklers in dorms when their children were killed in a fire, and it's just on and on. Someday we're going to have to write all this down, what all these people have done, Heidi.
Absolutely. And then we had two people on from MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
Right, we had the
McDonald's,
head of it. Mm-hmm.
And you interviewed the president, the national
right.
president of MAD, who is now a man, Glenn Birch, right, Mom?
Right, Birch. Yeah, Birch. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so people are there, as I told Jerry in an email that I sent to her, she's doing some suicide prevention work also, and these people are our heroes, aren't they?
Absolutely. It's amazing all the things people have done, and they've done it so that another child will not die. Mm-hmm. They will save lives. The death of their children, they're going to save lives through that.
And I think that's a good lead into our guest today, because she's doing an awfully lot of wonderful work on organ donation. So would you like to introduce Norma today, Heidi?
Sure, I'd love to. As my mother said, our guest today is Norma Garcia, and our topic is loss of a daughter and the gift of organ donation. Norma Garcia's daughter, Jasmine, was killed in an automobile accident in 2001. Norma is the single mother of Samuel, age 14, and is the owner of a realty firm in San Antonio, Texas. Since Jasmine's death, Norma has made educating the public about organ and tissue donation her passion in life. She has served on the National Donor Memorial Advisory Committee for the United Network for Organ Sharing and assisted in the design of the memorial in Richmond, Virginia, which honors America's donor families. She recently completed a book, My Dear Jasmine, From Tragedy to Triumph. Welcome to the show, Norma.
Hello, thank you. It's great to have you on the show, Norma. I'm looking at your book. It's so beautiful, and your daughter Jasmine is so absolutely lovely. And there's so many things, wonderful things that she's written to you, and I think they're still an inspiration to you today, right?
Yes, they are.
Yeah. Could you talk a little bit about Jasmine and her death?
Okay. I guess, first of all, let me tell you a little bit about Jasmine. Jasmine was at the age of 13 when we had the accident. She was a beautiful, vibrant little girl. If you see her in the picture, she had her beautiful long hair. She was very loving, very encouraging, just full of life. That was Jasmine for you. And I think your next question was a little bit about the accident. Is that what you
mm-hmm.
asked? Okay. The accident happened, and it was August 2001. We were taking probably one of the longest trips that we were going to be able to take with the children, and it was 9 days going. We would always go into Monterrey, Mexico to visit the family, and this time we were going to go into Oaxaca and Huatulco, which is a beautiful beach. And we went. We took the kids, had a wonderful time with them. On our way back, as we picked up the Ford Explorer there at the airport, we were driving back into Texas, and 2 hours before we reached Laredo, Texas, it was in a split second, we began to roll over. I just remember kind of opening my eyes because me and the children were asleep. They were in the back seat. And as I woke up, I just heard my husband at the time say, "Oh, my God," and we rolled over probably about 3 or 4 times. Mm-hmm. Only God knows why I woke up. I was able to wake up. I couldn't move much because I was pretty banged up, but I looked to the side, and children's dad was injured and moaning and groaning. And then I looked to the back, and Samuel had blood on his left ear and was in shock. He was just screaming in shock. Mm-hmm. And when I turned, kind of glanced for Jasmine, there was nobody there in the back seat, and it happened so quickly as I looked to the right of my window of the SUV, and luckily we landed right side up.
Mm-hmm.
Jasmine was on the ground probably about 30 feet from where I was, so you can
mm-hmm.
imagine for a mother.
Oh, yeah, being pinned in the car and not
I was
being
pinned
able
in the car, and yes, I was pinned in the car, and of course what you want to do is get out and go to her. I couldn't. People started arriving. Very quickly they arrived to our doors. And I kept pointing my hand out to and telling them in Spanish, "Mi niña," which means, you know, my little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept telling me, reassuring me and praying and saying she was fine. Everything was happening quickly. They were managed to get us out of the car too and cover her with a blanket, not on her body, but kind of just sharing the sun from her. And then after that, I lost consciousness in and out. I know the kids were taken in one ambulance and we were taken in another back into Monterrey, Mexico. So from there, everything started that day. It was August 11, 2001. And I think for me as a mother, that moment was one of determination that really was going to determine, I guess, my life from there on. And I had to make a choice if I was going to either live bitter or if I was going to continue with joy and want to live, because it was a moment that I wish for nobody, for no parent to have to live. We were at the there in Mexico in the hospital probably about 10 days with Jasmine and the music.
Now, were you concerned there about, was she getting the best care or something in Mexico?
I was. They had taken us supposedly to one of the best hospitals, which now I know was, which was a part of the Christus here, Christus Santa Rosa here in San Antonio. They have a Christus there in Monterey.
Mm-hmm. But you were obviously, you know, would be concerned. And you were bedridden yourself, right?
I was for the 3 days that they were able to retain me to the bed. I think at that point, Gloria, I don't know if it's your adrenaline pumps in, probably. I think I feel, because I was pretty banged up from my head. The side of my face was pretty swollen and bruised up. And I remember my mother was telling me, what are you doing? Why are you getting up? But at that point, I think I was concerned more for the whole family. And, of course, I wanted to see Jasmine. Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen her till the fourth day. And nobody knew what I had seen. Nobody knew that I had seen her on the ground and that she was hurt. They would tell me, she's okay, Norma, don't worry. But nobody knew what I had seen.
Mm-hmm.
So I was praying that everything was fine. And, of course, when I went to go see her, you see this little girl that they had shaved off all her hair. Her head was swollen. She was unrecognizable. She was so swollen. And, it was just a moment that, you know, it's like, what do? You almost feel like, is this a dream?
Mm-hmm.
You know, did this really happen?
You know, I just know that there's a huge number of our audience out there who've, you know, experienced that kind of experience that you had. Heidi's brother and my son was killed immediately, and we didn't ever see him at the accident site, or, you know, who was not in the hospital, but that's an incredible experience. And I think when we come back from break, I'd like to explore that a little bit with you about your feelings for those folks out there who've had those feelings and how you dealt with them. We're coming up on break, and I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. Please stay tuned to hear more from Norma Garcia about the loss of a daughter and the gift of organ donation. You can please feel free to call in on our toll-free number at any time. The number is 1-866-472-5792, and you can reach us through thegriefblog.com, and in a couple of days, the shows will also be archived on our blog, The Grief Blog. Stay tuned for more.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hello, Doctors Gloria and Heidi are pleased to announce that their new book, Teen Grief Relief, Parenting with Understanding, Support, and Guidance, published by Rainbow Books, is now available. Grief Relief can be ordered through thegriefblog.com as well as Amazon. Book orders can be made through the Book Clearinghouse at 800-431-1579. This book is a must for any family suffering a loss. Get your copy right now at thegriefreliefblog.com or amazon.com.
This is Dr. Gloria Horsley. Just a reminder to our listeners that you can own 10 of the very best Healing the Grieving Heart shows, available on CD. Our listeners tell us that they have used these shows to examine the many viewpoints of grief and to stimulate conversation on this difficult subject. Call toll-free 877-969-0010, that's 877-969-0010, to order a set, or visit the CompassionateFriends.org website and click on TCF Originals for the opportunity to purchase this specially priced set at only $60 for 10 CDs plus shipping and handling. Heidi and I have donated all the proceeds to the Compassionate Friends to help bereaved families following the death of a child.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm Dr. Heidi with my mom, Dr. Gloria, And for those of you just joining us, we're here today with Norma Garcia talking about loss of a daughter and the gift of organ donation. Norma's daughter, Jasmine, was killed in an automobile accident in 2001. Since Jasmine's death, Norma has made educating the public about organ and tissue donation her passion in life. She has served on the National Donor Memorial Advisory Committee for the United Network for Organ Sharing and assisted in the design of the memorial in Richmond, Virginia, which honors America's donor families. She recently completed a book, My Dear Jasmine, From Tragedy to Triumph. Welcome back to the show, Norma and Gloria.
Well, thanks, Heidi. Norma, I wanted to make a comment about your book before we get back into the show again. This book is really lovely, and Norma's a very good writer. It's extremely clear. It's an easy read, but it's got really some deep philosophical thoughts in it, which are easily read, which is lovely. And then it has a great picture of Jasmine on it. It has some wonderful things that she wrote to her mother. She was quite the little artist. And some wonderful pictures, and it's just a really great read. So you can go to our website, thegriefblog.com, and there is a picture of it up there, and you can order it, and you can order it through Amazon. So, and also you have a website, right, Norma?
Yes, we're right now. I was going to tell you, the book is probably going to be ready to order mid-March. It's still not, but they can contact me and we can set up an order for them.
Great. Okay, and they'd get to you, they could Google Norma Garcia to get to your site?
Yes, sir. It would be also www.normagarcia.net.
Great.
Or if you don't mind, I can give them my email. They can contact me by email also.
Okay.
At ngarciarealtor@sbcglobal.net. I would love to hear from people.
That's great. And you can also email us, and we'll shoot the email on to Norma also is another way we can go. So, Norma, when we went to break, we were talking about this hideous automobile accident you had, rollover, and you're trapped in the car, and Jasmine's outside the car. She's gone to the hospital in Monterrey in Mexico, and it's been 3 days, and you are in total pain and probably should not be getting up, right? And you're in the hospital, and you get up and go to her room and see, and you'd already seen her on the ground. People didn't know that. It's interesting because I'm sure our audience can identify with the idea that people don't think they know what they do know. You know, a lot of times people are aware of how gravely ill their child is or whatever, and people just don't talk about it.
And sometimes mothers, I think, and parents and siblings, they get a sense deep down in their gut that something is not right.
Yes.
You know, you just, as a mother, you just kind of are in tune with your kids.
So tell us, when did you find out that she was brain dead?
Actually, that, I know they're at Mexico, they're in the hospital. They weren't giving us much hope. They were already telling us that the results weren't showing much as far as her brain was. And they said, but we're going to continue to do tests. We're in the limbo there at the hospital because since at the time they were wanting all their full payment, that was terrible trying to deal with that and deal with also wanting them to either, you know, we need all this money or you need to, you know, leave the hospital. It was a mess.
Oh, my goodness. And you're pretty badly injured, aren't you?
We're very badly injured.
Both you and your husband.
Yes,
your
and they have their attorney there. So I think that was my moment of also saying, I need to get up. And, yeah, everybody was injured. My son had to have surgery on his right leg.
Oh,
and, of course, their dad also had a broken arm, and he was really badly injured because we all were. I mean, we're in this terrible rollover.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that also prompted me to say, I need to get her to the state. I need to get her back home. You know, we need to, all of us. And we were able to, thank God, we were able to, I came and was able to find help, and they sent transportation for her to be moved here to San Antonio.
Now, I want to ask you, because I know you're a religious person, did you have a religious strength from that while you were in the hospital? How did you get that strength?
I think the strength was... we were very active in our church at the time. We were, their dad was a minister in the church.
Mm.
And, of course, for many years, over 10 years, I was in the women's ministry and the altar ministry. So, of course, all I knew was to get on my knees and pray.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I knew. And that's exactly what I think brought me through that time, because that's all I remember doing was crying, and, of course, crying out to God and asking Him. One, I didn't know why it had happened or what was happening.
Mm.
But all I knew is that I needed to be strong first for my children and then for my family All my family from San Antonio drove over there to Monterey to be with us, and just seeing my mother and my brother and my sisters, I think that alone kind of made me get courage and say, you know, we have to fight this.
You knew you weren't in this alone. You had your whole family. You were in it together as a family.
Yes, they were there right by our sides. Mm-hmm. I had sister-in-laws taking care of Sammy because, of course, I wasn't with him, you know, all the time in his room. And then I had to come to San Antonio, and they were there. And I think throughout the whole ordeal, even till now, I have their support, their unconditional support.
You know, I want to move on to the organ donation in the next segment. But before we do that, I would like to ask you a little bit about the Latino culture. And is there a difference that you see in Western, you know, in the different cultures?
As far as the way people grieve?
Yes, I do, because when Jasmine was pronounced, you asked me when was she pronounced brain dead, it was here in the university hospital 12 days later that they, again, said we're going to do the test. This was two other doctors, so she had been seen by four doctors, and they asked us. Then they approached us, and they said, we're declaring her brain dead. And then they had somebody from Texas Organ Sharing Alliance approach us also and say, would y'all become organ donors, which was new to us. But I myself was more prompted to say yes and not hesitate, because I said, I don't want any other family to go through what we're going through. You know, the loss and just, you know, all the grieving and not knowing what are you supposed to do? I think I've said it in my book too, that if they would have told me we can transplant a brain into your daughter, I would have said, please, you know, save my baby. And I think at the moment when we said that, we didn't, of course, consult with the whole family. It was just me and my husband at the time. We said yes because of that. It was a very difficult choice. But then afterwards, I think even the family, even though they wouldn't say it right away, I think it was kind of hard for them to accept the situation of actually Jasmine's heart and liver was going to be taken from her body. One, why? Because of our culture. You don't get educated on organ donation. And then two, it's probably more of a taboo. That's not something you do. Mm-hmm. I think, and a lot of it is maybe there's not enough education or misinformation of people or different beliefs, or they feel that maybe the church is not going to support it. Maybe I feel even the Catholic. But I think that with education now, they're seeing that they do. It's the ultimate gift that you can give somebody.
That's great. And several people Jasmine helped, right?
They were only able to use her main organs, which were her heart and liver. At the time, that's all we had consented to. I wasn't educated at the time that they can use her cornea. They can use a lot of her tissue, so it was her main organs, and it was just her heart and liver. Mm-hmm. The rest of them were too deteriorated for them to use.
Uh-huh. And then you've got a picture in your book of the lovely young woman that received her heart. And
it was Cassandra.
Cassandra,
wow.
Yes.
That's amazing.
And went on, you've got a picture of her graduating from, is that it?
Yes, she gave that to me.
Was that high school?
Was high school, and we were fortunate enough to meet Cassandra a year after in Jasmine's memorial that we had for Jasmine. All her family came down from Bay City by Houston.
So Jasmine's heart went into a very young girl, it sounds like.
I believe she was 17 years at the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is, like you said, that is really the ultimate gift you can give someone. That is an amazing story.
So it is an amazing thing. Now, let's get into the cultural part a little bit. How do you see people grieving? Do you see Latino people grieving a little bit different than others? Or, you know, is there more emotion? Or do you see any difference?
I don't think I see difference. I think because even throughout all these years that I've talked to different mothers and families that I meet that lost a child, I don't want to say it's culture. I think it's just that people grieve differently, regardless of you know, if they're Hispanic or not.
Mm-hmm.
I just see that it's probably, maybe one thing I do see maybe in our culture more is that they tend to, like, celebrate El Día de los Muertos, which is November 2nd, the Day of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain things that they do maybe to honor the dead. That maybe you don't find that in other cultures.
Yeah, could you talk about that a little
yes.
bit? Because some people do those shrines, and I don't think anybody does it better than the Hispanic
And what
people.
Is the Day of the Dead exactly? Is it? It sounds like a celebration of life.
It's more of a. It's more that they've. It's the day that probably it's just to, I guess, bring attention to your loved one that has passed away, and you honor them in the sense where you, like you said, a shrine, they either create a shrine, or it's a day that everybody makes time to go to the cemetery to, besides the birthdays and Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe that's attendant to the Decoration Day in the United States, where people go decorate their graves. Which
that
I think
might be similar.
Started because of World War One or something. I don't know, but this is much deeper, isn't it? The Day of the Dead. Is that Catholic?
I think it's more. Yes, it's more from the ground. Catholic.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have a shrine?
No, I don't have a. I don't want to say I have a shrine for my daughter. I don't actually go out and celebrate on the Day of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything in your own home?
And in the house, what I have that I still kept, her room, her brother has, of course, taken that room now. But in my closet, or her closet is still there. Her closet with her clothes and her items, her awards, and everything is still there. I haven't reached that point where I want to say, okay, I'm going to, you know, donate these to somebody or give these items away. I think all her items are still there.
Mm-hmm. And it's been, what, 7 years?
It's been 7 years.
You know, I think this is so important, don't you? Heidi and I always talk about this, don't we, Heidi, that there's no time thing?
Right. We're all on our own pathways to healing, and, you know, everybody will know when their time is here and how they want to do things and what they want to do with clothing, et cetera.
And they may never want to do anything with it. You know, as therapists, there used to be this kind of rule after the first year and all this kind of stuff, and we find, and you talk about it in your book, that we've all got our own pace of grief, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, like I said, just I'm finding that out, too. I found that interesting because at first I was always, sometimes at first you feel guilt. I know I felt guilt at times. Mm-hmm. Am I supposed to be feeling like this? Then all of a sudden I would find myself where I had really good days and I would want to laugh and smile, like maybe within the family, and then I would kind of like pull myself and say, you know, no, this is wrong. So I kind of learned that it's okay, you know, that it's okay. Everybody, one, grieves differently, and then it's okay to begin to live again, like to give yourself that permission.
Mm-hmm. And when did you do that? I mean, you were talking as you went. You had seminal moments in the hospital 3 days after you prayed and whatever, and you knew you had to have the courage to get up, right, even though it was painful.
Yeah, I think it was there that, of course, I prayed to have the courage to move on, but I think it took several years. I want to say the first year still, I would still kind of close myself up to people, even to, you know, I quit as far as my business, and I was still kind of hiding myself and still trying to fight, you know, all those emotions and the guilt and the what ifs. I would still go through the endless nights of no sleep, and I want to say it was probably at least 3 years afterwards that I can really say, okay, I would enjoy a trip without fearing if something was going to happen, because I didn't want to travel, you know. I didn't want Sammy to go outside and get on the bike, you know. Do you have your helmet? How about if somebody, you know, I was overly protected with him.
Right? We were going to ask you about that, about Sammy.
Yeah. When we come back from break, let's start with finding out about Sammy, and let's also talk about, you made two comments that I know our audience are going to want to hear about, and that is the guilt and the what-ifs. We're coming up on break, and I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. Please stay tuned to hear more about the loss of a daughter and the gift of organ donation from our guest, Norma Garcia. You can join us by calling our toll-free number, 1-866-472-5792. You can email us about this show or upcoming shows on our blog, thegriefblog.com. And please remember that we're having a poetry contest, and this Valentine's Day, we'd love to have you write a poem for us and send it on to the Grief Blog. Please stay tuned for more.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Dr. Heidi Horsley, co-host of Healing the Grieving Heart. When you've lost someone close to you, the holidays sometimes aren't as happy as they used to be. That's one of the reasons we created the Grief Blog. Visit www.thegriefblog.com and take advantage of the articles, stories, radio show archives, and comments all about dealing with loss. We'd love it if you'd share some of your holiday stories, poems, recipes, and traditions with our growing community of people just like you and just like me who've lost someone close to them. It's as easy as sending an email and a great way to remember and honor your loved one. Please tune in Thursdays, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, to Healing the Grieving Heart on Voice America, and have a happy and safe holiday season.
Save the date. The Compassionate Friends 31st National Conference will be held July 18th through 20th, 2008, in the home of country music, Nashville, Tennessee. If you've experienced the devastating death of a child in your family, you will not want to miss the weekend of friendship, understanding, and hope, when more than 1,200 people just like you will join together. Said one person in describing last summer's 2007 National Conference, there was so much love and compassion, you could feel it in the air. To learn more about the 2008 National Conference, the pre-conference professional outreach day, and the popular two-mile walk to remember, visit CompassionateFriends.org or call 877-969-0010. Detailed information on the conference will be posted to the national website as it becomes available.
This is Dr. Gloria Horsley. Just a reminder to our listeners that you can own 10 of the very best Healing the Grieving Heart shows, available on CD. Our listeners tell us that they have used these shows to examine the many viewpoints of grief and to stimulate conversation on this difficult subject. Call toll-free 877-969-0010, that's 877-969-0010, to order a set or visit the CompassionateFriends.org website and click on TCF Originals for the opportunity to purchase this specially priced set at only $60 for 10 CDs plus shipping and handling. Heidi and I have donated all the proceeds to the Compassionate Friends to help bereaved families following the death of a child.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm Dr. Heidi with my mom, Dr. Gloria. And for those of you just joining us here today, we're here with Norma Garcia talking about loss of a daughter and the gift of organ donation. Norma's daughter, Jasmine, was killed in an automobile accident in 2001. Since Jasmine's death, Norma has made educating the public about organ and tissue donation her passion in life. She recently completed a book, My Dear Jasmine, From Tragedy to Triumph. Welcome back to the show, Norma and Gloria.
Thanks, Heidi. Well, Norma, welcome back to the show. When we went to break, we were going to talk a little bit about Sammy, and then we're going to go to the guilt and what is, but what ifs. And I want to just say again, this is a wonderful book. You can look at it on our blog, thegriefblog.com. A beautiful picture of Jasmine. It's up there. And also, I would highly recommend that you get this book. It's a very nice read. There's some nice poetry in it. There's some biblical quotes in it, and it's just a very delightful, very touching read. So, Norma, I wanted to, Heidi, would you want to talk a little bit about Sammy?
Yeah, and I had a couple questions. I guess the first one is, I know that Sammy is now 14, and I wondered, Norma, what it was like for you when he was 13, the age that Jasmine died, and if you were concerned that Sammy was going to die that year, or if that didn't enter your mind at all.
Yeah, Sammy's actually 15 now.
He's
15 now, and I think, no, I didn't much so worry at the age that he was 13, but mm-hmm. I think it was, like I said, after the accident, mm-hmm. probably that year or two, that I was extremely overprotective with him, because I just felt, okay, if we're going to travel, or if he travels with his dad, you know, are they going to make it back safe? So I think I got overly protected because, yeah, in the back of my mind was that, you know, I don't want anything to happen to him.
Right, and your reality is now that children can die because you've had a daughter die.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, so, the reality is that things happen in a split of a second and that we have mm-hmm. no control, that life sometimes surprises us. Go ahead, Heidi.
I was just going to say, he must have missed his sister so much, being that they were the only two children you had.
Yes, he did, because we had just moved into, I put there in the book, we had just moved into this new house 30 days, and they were each going to have their own room. Jasmine mm-hmm. was 13, he was 9. So up to that time, they both were sharing a room together and bunk beds. So all that time, they were always together. So when she was gone, I know I put there in the book, there was one day that he cries out to her. He uh-huh. cries out to her for help, almost like crying out to God for help. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, me and his dad were having an argument, and mm-hmm. we kind of forgot that he was there.
Right.
And he starts crying out, and I think that moment, I'll never forget that little voice crying out for Jasmine, like, come help me, you know, like Jasmine. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Now, you mentioned that your husband and you were having an argument. That's a couple of years later, and do you think that the the accident impacted your relationship? I wondered if there was guilt or anger or, you know, what.
I think there was on both of our ends. You know, it's sad to say that even though we were, like I said, very involved in the church and that we weren't able to kind of come together, I think we drew further apart. He kept his thoughts probably more to himself. I was more outspoken afterwards, after I got involved with organ and tissue donation, and maybe I was able to kind of express my feelings and stuff. So I don't know if he had maybe guilt also because he was driving. And a lot of it then, you know, was there expressed within us. You know, it strained our relationship.
Mm-hmm. Did he stay in the ministry then?
He's back now, active in the church, him with Sammy, and he's wonderful as far as the relationship he has with Sammy. And he makes sure, of course, that Sammy goes every weekend with him to the youth ministry. And, of course, Sammy loves to go. We don't have to force him or push him. That's how he's been. You know, he's grown up in the church. So, yeah, they're both very involved.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have any special scriptures or thoughts about religion or strength that, for people out there who are in those early years of loss?
Mm-hmm. I think as far as quoting specific ones, there's several that I would like to say. And I think one is probably trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is I can do, and that was Jasmine's favorite too, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me,
mm-hmm.
which is in Philippians. And I think those are the ones that would also come to mind. There's several. There's one in Romans that says that all things work for good for those who love the Lord. So I think regardless of what your belief is, you know, I feel for me that was my belief was that in the Lord. And that was my ground, and that was kept me grounded in the time of when I wanted to fall apart.
And were you angry at God at all?
You know that? No.
Okay.
I wasn't, and I don't know why. I know that people go through a stage of anger. I'm thankful that I wasn't. I know that I cried a lot. Of course, everybody does. But mm-hmm. to me, it was mostly in the evening when nobody was around or Sammy wouldn't see me, was in the middle of the night, was be in the restroom on my knees, and it would mm-hmm. be sobbing, you know, to the Lord mm-hmm. out in prayer. And I think that was one of my prayers was, don't let me get bitter. Because I knew that very easily I could start blaming. I could have started blaming my husband. I could have started blaming God. I could have started feeling very, as a victim, like, why us? And I didn't want that. I had always been a very, I want to say, optimistic person, and I want to continue to be. It wasn't easy, and it hasn't been easy. But I think I had to make that, I had to make a choice. I think everybody, you have to make a choice in life when you have a situation like this or any other one. That, okay, you know, what am I going to learn from this? Why was I left on this earth?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and live a life of gratitude, you know.
And so you found your meaning and why you were here.
I did.
And, yeah.
I did. I believe I was here. I was left here to share my story, to encourage others, and to say that there is nothing that you can go through in this life that your spirit cannot overcome, that you cannot have the strength to live a joyful life again and to wake up and say, thank you, Lord, you know, for another day of life.
And, you know, that's an amazing thing, because not only was Jasmine killed 7 years ago, but then you had to face a divorce also.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which is another loss.
It's another loss.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you deal with that for our audience out there? I mean,
I think that took a big strain on me as far as even going through the process of even going to get a divorce. We had already been married 16 years. We would have been married 20 years now, but I think it did take a strain on me. I was on a roller coaster. It was one day, you know, I felt good. The other day I was very depressed. Then again, okay, we're going to try to work it out. And it was about 2 years doing that, and it did take a big strain on me. I think it was very difficult for me to let go. I didn't want to let go because I another disappointment and another loss.
Mm-hmm.
And as a woman, I think I finally came to the point where I said, I can't. I have to, you know, move on, and I can't live like this any longer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that was, what, 5 years ago?
Mm-hmm. That was 4 years ago.
4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And could you talk a little bit about Sammy? How's he dealt with all this?
I think Sammy has dealt with it much better than I think what we realized that he was going to, because one, he had lost a sister, and then he went through also, of course, losing a parent, not losing, but from home.
Mm-hmm.
And at first it was very painful when I told Sammy, you know, we're getting a divorce. I think Sammy, since he's been raised in the church, I think it's helped him to be also a little boy that's very positive, optimistic, and has a lot of faith. He even helps me on the days maybe that I'm not having a good day. So I think he's dealt with it quite well.
You know, I in looking at the book, Jasmine wrote these little pieces to you at different, like Mother's Day and whatever, and she would put a scripture in there. Is he like that too? I just think
he's extremely like that, Gloria. He is. I think I'm grateful for that, but he holds me to my every word.
So
why aren't you going to church Sunday? Remember what you used to tell me? Oh yes, he does. He's you know, I think because probably one, he saw what got us through this, and he knew that we were very much believed in prayer. And where our strength comes from, and that's how he's been raised. So, of course, he's like any other teenager. He likes to have fun and with his friends. But I think when it comes down to it, and in his, you know, privacy at home, yeah, he will always let me know, Mom, remember what the Bible says, Mom.
So both Jasmine and Sammy sound very spiritual.
They are. Mm-hmm. I think they are. Like I said, they're nonetheless are just like any other normal teenager Sammy is. But, yeah. Yeah, he is. I think he's pretty grounded, and I hope he keeps that up.
Now, you had a career, and you kind of gave it up, and then you opened your... Were you a realtor when Jasmine died?
I had been a realtor for a year, and then when she passed away, of course, I didn't want nothing to do. I had months where I would book my calendar full, and then I had those days where I was real depressed, and I would go in and cancel all my appointments, so I kind of stopped for a year. I didn't want anything to do, and then I said, slowly but surely, I need to start getting out of the house. You know, I need to start, you know, trying to live again. And just in this last September, I opened up this real estate office here in I bought a franchise here in San Antonio.
That's great. How are you doing?
We're doing well. We have 28 executives here in the office, so we're doing well.
Oh, great. And what's the name of it for our audience?
It's Realty Executives River City.
So if you're in that area, in the San Antonio area, right?
Yes, stop by and visit.
That's great. Well, you know, I wanted to give this quote that you had in the book, the Abraham Lincoln quote, because I think that's kind of what you're about right now, isn't it? Do you know the quote I'm going to say?
Yeah, I know which one you're going to say. I don't know it by heart, but yes, not well.
Yeah, you had it in there. To ease, Abraham Lincoln said, to ease another's heartache is to forget one's own. And I think that that's very key right now for you because you are so involved in helping others through organ donation, right?
Yes, I am. That's one of my passions. Yeah, because I get to share my story.
Uh-huh. And tell us about how you do that.
Okay, I started with the Texas Organ Sharing Alliance a year after Jasmine passed away. They had invited us to go to a quilt ceremony, a tree planting ceremony. There's different things that they do here locally, and they would ask if I would share my story, and I began to share my story with other people. One, because they have a face to relate to. They're talking to a donor mom, and you get to see some of the recipients, too, and it's amazing. It's amazing just to see the children and the grown-ups, the second chance of life they get. Mm-hmm. So I do that, one, by speaking locally. Sometimes I have groups from different hospitals, from the OPOs, that they want us to speak to, especially the nurses that are in the intensive care, because, one, it also gives them the feeling of what a donor family is going through, and also to encourage them to keep doing what they're doing because it's a very difficult situation that they're in that they have to approach the families. So I'm involved doing that. We do annually.
Let me interrupt you for a minute because I think that is amazing, giving support to professionals, don't you, Heidi? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think it's great because, I mean, I would think for a family, you never want to give up hope. So to say I want to, you know, yes, I will donate the organs is kind of like admitting, yes, this person is going to die.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's got to be tough. I love that they're consulting with a parent. The professionals are concerned.
Well, I also like that the parents are helping the professionals.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I love that because you are the expert. You've been there. You've been through it.
And to also give them support to do it because, as you said, it's not an easy thing to approach parents. I mean, you know, even for us, sometimes on the show, you know, there are difficult subjects for people, and it's hard.
Yeah.
So that's great that you're doing that. Well, it's time for us to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more with Norma Garcia about the loss of a daughter and the gift of organ donation. It's Valentine's Day today, and we would like you to make sure that you give yourself a Valentine today, because you're certainly the Valentine's for us, and we appreciate all of our listeners very much on this day. So it's going to be our last break, and we are going to ask Norma if there's anything that we've missed that she'd like to say on the show today. So please stay tuned for more.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hello, Doctors Gloria and Heidi are pleased to announce that their new book, Teen Grief Relief, Parenting with Understanding, Support, and Guidance, published by Rainbow Books, is now available. Grief Relief can be ordered through thegriefblog.com as well as Amazon. Book orders can be made through the Book Clearinghouse at 800-431-1579. This book is a must for any family suffering a loss. Get your copy right now at thegriefreliefblog.com or amazon.com.
This is Dr. Gloria Horsley, host of Healing the Grieving Heart. When you're not listening to our show every Thursday at 9 Pacific, noon Eastern, visit our new blog at thegriefblog.com. It's loaded with articles, personal stories, poems, and more. Our blog is dedicated to helping you and your family deal with loss. While you're there, submit your loved one's favorite recipes, your poems, and stories, and listen to our archives of our past shows. Thegriefblog.com is where you'll find us. And, of course, listen to our show every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, here on Voice America.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi for our final segment of Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal for those who have suffered the loss of a loved one.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm Dr. Heidi with my mom, Dr. Gloria, and for those of you just joining us here today, we're with Norma Garcia talking about loss of a daughter and the gift of organ donation. Norma recently completed a book, My Dear Jasmine, From Tragedy to Triumph. Welcome back to the show, Norma and Gloria.
Thanks, Heidi. Well, Norma, before this is our last break, and I just wanted to again talk about this beautiful book, My Dear Jasmine, and Journey from Triumph to Tragedy, and I want to congratulate you on writing a wonderful book.
It's and what, I'm going from tragedy to
absolutely.
Triumph.
Absolutely, and yeah, and doing that, it's amazing. How did you decide to write the book?
I think one thing led to the other. I have a friend here locally that she had wrote a book, and she called me and said, Norma, I just wrote a book. And we had met 3 years prior, and she knew my story. And her book is called Elijah on My Mind for Teen Parents. But she called me, and she was so excited, and she said, I want to meet with you. And she said, remember you had commented about your story and that you wanted to maybe one day share your story? She said, I want to help you. So I think it wouldn't have made possible without Nina's help. Her name's Nina Duran, and she was the editor of the book, because she actually would come to the house, made it real just comfortable for me, because one, I'm not a writer, and she would ask me questions, and she was writing them down. Then she said, I'll just get on the computer and start, pouring out your emotions or thoughts, and that's exactly what I did. That's all I did. I sat on my computer. It was a lot of crying, because I think it was a lot of healing. It was meant to be, because it was a lot of healing that this book, writing this book, brought to me, because I had to search. I had to remember things. And she was the one that helped me. So I think one, and I thought, what better way to honor Jasmine? What better way? Right away I said, I want her picture in the front. And then I thought also of, like I said, Samuel, that, you know, okay, we've gone through this, son, but that's okay. You know, we're going to be fine, and we're still going to have a good life after this. We can still look forward to dreaming and having, you know, a better life, even though we've gone through this. And then the thought was, how many people can benefit from reading this book? Mm-hmm. That, you know, no matter what you go through, if it's a loss, if it's a divorce, if it's, you know, chaos that you think you're facing and that you're not going to make it, that there's hope. Look, I've gone through this, and, you know, I've overcome. These are maybe the baby steps I took or the healing process. It might be different for you, but you can overcome.
Well, you certainly accomplished all those in the book. It's wonderful. And I wanted to read a poem from the book. And tell us a little bit about it. It's called Set a Place for Me. Who wrote this for you?
Yes, that poem was written by a neighbor. It was probably about six years ago that the neighbor next to us gave me that poem, and she didn't want me to place her name on it. I had told her I was going to put it on the book. But when I read it, it was beautiful. It was beautiful, and I said, it has to be placed in this book.
It's absolutely.
As Gloria reads it, you're going to see why.
Yeah, it's very touching. I'm leaving a little bit of the middle out so to make it a little shorter for the show. So if you want to hear the whole thing, you will want to get the book from our website, thegriefblog.com. It's called Set a Place for Me. If you could see the things I see, how happy you would be. The love that's all around me here, my life eternally. By angels I'm surrounded. They call me by my name. Jasmine, you're an angel. No sorrow now, no pain. He said he knew you'd miss me. My laughter, hugs, and smiles, but that he'd take good care of me till you join me in a while. So when you set the table, I hope one thing you'll do is set a special place for me, and I'll set three for you. Really wonderful, beautiful piece of
very poetry. Powerful.
Very touching. Well, tell us a little bit about, Heidi was talking during break about Chet Zuber, a man we had on who received his daughter's heart and actually had an appearance. Do you remember that, Heidi? He heard his voice at the elevator, her voice. He wasn't going to do it, and her voice said, please take my heart.
Yep.
And it's just amazing. I'm sure you hear stories about like that when you're going around about the wonderful things that happen with organ donation, don't you?
Yes, you do, and it's amazing. Like I said, to me, the greatest thing is to see either a child or an adult, and they tell me I'm a recipient. You know, I receive. And I, okay, well, what did you receive? A heart or a kidney? And then to see them so vibrant and full of life, that's amazing. Or when they show me their before and after pictures, it's amazing. It's just amazing to see that they were given that second chance of life.
And talk about what it does for you, giving service.
I think it's part of my healing, Gloria. I want to say that it's part of my healing. As you all know, there's days that, of course, I miss Jasmine. I always do. I always will. She's always in my heart. And I think, to me, it brings me so much comfort to know that I'm able to see others benefit from organ and tissue donation, and just to see others also that by sharing my story that they're also, you know, benefiting from that.
So it took you how long do you feel before you felt like really reaching out?
I think I started probably a year after, but I think even a year after, I was still going through a lot more struggles as far as having days, you know, where you have really good days and really bad days. I think we all still do in life, but I mean, those days where I wouldn't want to get out of bed. I think probably, I want to say 2 years ago is when I can literally tell you that I'm probably feeling much better physically also, because I had a lot of healing to do also after the roller accident.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I noticed is that when you're going through depression, what I would notice is once my mind started giving up on me, what I mean going into the depression and the thoughts, then my knees would hurt, then my elbows would hurt, then I would get a headache, then all of a sudden I was tired. So it would take, slowly, and I would catch myself and I say, it's because I'm starting to feel depressed and all the other aches start in my body.
Mm-hmm.
So I started, I guess, one, getting to know my body, starting taking care of myself, taking long walks, you know, just going through a healing process and trying to say, I'm a believer in needing to fight things and saying, this is not the way, you know, that the Lord wants me to live. This wasn't meant for me. If I'm going to live, I want to live fully, and I want to be healthy, and I want to be joyful, you know, and I want to be able to give to others.
And what would you say to our audience out there in closing who are suffering right now through an early loss?
I think through an early loss, I would say give your time to heal. One, understand everybody heals differently. Nobody can tell you, you know, you are supposed to cry. Don't cry. How long? Nobody has the perfect time period. And it's okay if you have pictures of your loved one out. It's okay if you don't. There is no rules, I guess, in grieving. But do allow yourself to slowly start again smiling, taking care of yourself, that it's okay to live again.
Yeah, great. That's a wonderful way to end the show. Well, Norma, thank you so much for being on the show. It's you're an inspiration, and you've been through so much, and you're very inspiring. So it's time to close our show, and I want to thank Norma Garcia. And please stay tuned again next week when our topic will be finding meaning after a brother dies of a drug overdose. And our guest will be Nancy Rosenblatt, psychologist, and we'll be talking a lot about sibling loss. This show is archived on our blog, thegriefblog.com, as well as the Compassionate Friends website. Please stay tuned again next Thursday at 9 Pacific Standard Time, 12 Eastern, for more of Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal and support. Remember, others have been there before you and made it. You can, too. You need not walk alone. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley. Norma, Jasmine is gone but never forgotten. She lives on in your heart and memories and in all the work you do. Thank you for educating the public about organ donation and for saving lives every day. Thank you, Norma.
Thank you, Gloria and Heidi, for your show.
You have been listening to Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi Horsley on Healing the Grieving Heart, heard live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on health.voiceamerica.com and worldtalkradio.com. Healing the Grieving Heart is archived on thegriefblog.com as well as the CompassionateFriends.org websites. Tune in again next week, and thanks for listening.